Good morning. Some years ago, I realized that one of the duties of a Zen teacher was to tell people things they already know. So this morning, I would like to take a few minutes and say a few words about change. We usually see change as being the fact that things are different today than how they were yesterday, or even from one moment to the next. Although this is obviously true, from a Buddhist perspective, change goes much deeper. The Buddha called it anicca, which is translated as impermanence. And this was the Buddha's realization, sitting under a tree and seeing Venus rise in the east. From this realization of anicca, the Buddha realized anatta, or non-self, that there is no fixed or permanent self, no lasting essence. This, he then realized, is the cause of dukkha, or suffering, or dissatisfaction with our life. When we talk about clinging or attachment, what we are talking about is our denial of and resistance to impermanence. Case 80 of the Blue Cliff Record goes like this. A monk asked Joshu, "Does a newborn infant have the sixth consciousness?" Joshu said, "A ball tossed on rushing water." The monk then went to ask Toshi, "What is the meaning of a ball tossed on rushing water?" Toshi said, "Moment to moment, non-stop flow." What was the monk asking with his question about an infant? How were Joshu's and Toshi's replies a response to this question? So, the monk asked Joshu, "Does a newborn infant also have the sixth consciousness?" What is he talking about? The six consciousnesses are sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch, and thought. Is he asking if a newborn thinks? Or is he asking if a newborn has a self that experiences? I think he wanted to know, what was our true nature? What is it that comes into this world, lives a life of experiencing, and then finally passes away? Whatever the monk was looking for, Joshu redirects him to a fundamental truth. His reply, a ball tossed on rushing water. So let's consider that image. When you throw a ball into a rapid, it zips away, carried along by the current. It is subject to the causes and conditions of the rushing water. It can have a nice scenic ride, but sometimes it might bump into a rock or a log. It might get caught in an eddy, spinning in circles until it's swept away again. The ball doesn't know what's around the next bend or where it will end up. Does this sound at all familiar? The monk didn't see it, so he went to Toshi for clarification. So when he asked Toshi, "What is the meaning of a ball tossed on rushing water?" Toshi said, moment to moment, nonstop flow. Perhaps the monk was looking for something more definite, but what he received was a fundamental truth about ourselves and the world in which we live, which is impermanence, constant change. This might be one of the more difficult aspects of the Dharma for us to see. We tend to want something solid and graspable. What is the self that experiences our life? As Joshu and Toshi pointed out, don't waste your time looking for it. It's not a thing. It's simply moment to moment, nonstop flow. If we are talking about something we like, what we are used to and expect, then change can upset us. When it comes to what we don't like, what we find painful or displeasing, then change is something we hope for. The common denominator is our opinion. This is basic human nature, and in itself not a problem. It's when we believe our opinions, our desires, and aversions to be the truth of the matter that we get into trouble. Our practice teaches us that, in fact, the truth of the matter is simply this experiencing moment, regardless of our opinion of it. In being this experience moment, we are in a much better position to respond with skill and compassion to the inevitability of constant change, even when we don't like it. In her book, Everyday Zen, Joko includes the following quote from the service dedication. Unceasing change turns the wheel of life, and so reality is shown in all its many forms. Peaceful dwelling as change itself liberates all. Liberates all of us, all suffering sentient beings, and brings them to great joy. I won't add anything to this, but Joko goes on to say that peaceful dwelling as change itself is simply experiencing, experiencing, experiencing. The Heart Sutta doesn't contain the word change, but that's what it's talking about. When it says that form is emptiness and emptiness is form, this is another way of describing impermanence. We have a habit of clinging to forms of all kinds, whether it's conditions we encounter or our own thoughts and feelings. As the Heart Sutra says, all conditions are empty. This simply means that they arise and pass. It's rarely in our power to decide what arises and passes. But what is in our power is how we respond. It's through our practice, being this moment experiencing, that we can manifest that power and be the peaceful dwelling as change itself. The Buddha's realization and teaching began with impermanence and ongoing change. Most people will never hear this teaching. Some will hear it and yet still cling to self-centeredness, demanding a firm ground upon which to stand. And there are those who hear this teaching and in recognizing its truth, strive to appreciate and let go of the attachments that cause suffering for themselves and others. We are fortunate to have the opportunity and ability, through our simple and sincere effort, to realize now what the Buddha realized so many years ago. So I would like to end this talk with something that I feel is important to remember. Whether it's change or impermanence, form or emptiness, these are merely words that we use. They have a value and function as words, but they are not the truth of our life or practice. They simply point to that truth. And it's up to us to realize and appreciate what they point to. There is no change, no impermanence, no form, no emptiness. There is always and only this moment experiencing. There is no deep or hidden meaning to these concepts, or even any need to understand them. That's because we can experience them directly, always right here, always right now. Thank you.